Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, February 11th, 2021, etc. Sol Ross, Associate Athletic Director, to be inducted into TSATA Hall of Honor. OA Life at OAOA.com. Alpine, Associate Athletic Director for Sports Medicine, Billy Ray Laxton, will be inducted into the Texas State Athletic Trainers Association Hall of Honor this June. Quote, Billy Ray being inducted in the TSATA Hall of Honor is very well deserved, end quote, Sol Ross, VP for Finance and Operations, and Interim Athletic Director Jim Goodman said. Quote, he is well known and highly respected in the athletic community in Texas. Along with being a tireless worker for the safety and well-being of student athletes, he's a terrific man and role model. I'm lucky to be able to call him a friend. Congratulations, BR. End quote. The TSATA was created to own, operate, and maintain an association exclusive to the promotion, enhancement, and advancement of the athletic training profession and of the association's members. The TSATA is, quote, by Texas athletic trainers, about Texas athletic trainers, and for Texas athletic trainers, end quote, and strives to serve as the voice of athletic trainers in Texas. Quote, Billy Ray Laxton represents the best of Sol Ross, end quote. Sol Ross President Pete Gallego said, quote, he leads by example, devoted to our university's athletes, committed to our community's children through service on the local school board, giving graciously of his time, and pitching in wherever he can to make Sol Ross a better place, end quote. Laxton joined Sol Ross in May of 2018 as head athletics trainer and was named associate athletics director for athletic training in July of 2019. He previously served as outreach coordinator at Scott and White Hospital in Temple since 2011. Before that, Laxton served as head athletic trainer and assistant professor of athletic training at the University of Mary Hardin Baylor. Quote, I am extremely honored to enter the Hall of Honor with people I admire, love, and respect, end quote, Laxton said. Quote, I would like to thank all the student athletes and student trainers that I've encountered over the years. I am so thankful to have so many mentors. I also could not have done this without my family. My wife, Joanna, has been so supportive over the years and has been in a position where she could take care of business for our family, end quote. Laxton is set to be inducted on June 12th as TSATA celebrates its 20th anniversary and 50 years of Texas licensure. Death notices. Leslie Renee Anderson, Odessa. Leslie Renee Anderson, 52, of Odessa, died Sunday, February 7th, 2021, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Eggers West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Charles Richard Ricky Blunt, Odessa. Charles Richard Ricky Blunt, 67, of Odessa, died Monday, February 1st, 2021, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Wednesday, February 17th, 2021, at Ector County Cemetery. Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. John Wesley Jernigan, Jr., Odessa. John Wesley Jernigan, Jr., 69, of Midland, died Sunday, February 7th, 2021, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 7 p.m. Thursday, February 18th, 2021, at American Legion at 2701 East 8th Street, Odessa. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Barbara Ann Patton, Odessa. Barbara Ann Patton, 71, of Odessa, died Monday, February 1st, 2021, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Schaefer Funeral Home, Grape Creek of San Angelo. Leslie Prince, Midland. Leslie Prince, 58, of Midland, Texas, died suddenly February 7th, 2021, in Midland. Celebration of life is scheduled for 11 a.m. February 12th, 2021, at First Baptist Church. Darren Wood is officiating. Arrangements are by American Heritage Funeral Home of Midland. Melissa Sue Williamson, Midland. Melissa Sue Williamson, 57, of Midland, died Saturday, February 6th, 2021, in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled 2 p.m. February 12th, 2021, First Assembly of God Church in Odessa. Reverend Todd Starnes is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, February 11th, 2021. Obituary. Odessa. Faustino Natividad Baeza Jr., 52, of Odessa, Texas, entered into rest on Saturday, February 6th, 2021. He would always say he was born in Pecos or Saragossa, Texas, but he didn't know which one. On April 29th, 1968, to Faustino and Amada Baeza. Those left to cherish his loving memory are wife Lynette Tucker Baeza, whom he lovingly referred to as Nett, children Faustino Metis III, Joshua, Jesse Anthony Baeza, Stephanie Marie Baeza, Dominique, Lynette Mathis, Robert, Jerry Burden, Kathy, Jason Tucker, Catherine, father, Faustino Baeza Sr., America, sisters, Minerva Quiro, Raul Sr., and Natalie Baeza, brother, Mario Baeza, Elizabeth, 8 grandchildren who were his pride and joy, 2 great-grandchildren, and a large extended family. He was preceded in death by his loving mother, Amada Natividad Baeza. Visitation will be on Thursday, February 11th, 2021, at 5 p.m., immediately followed by a celebration of life service at 7 p.m. at the Odessa Spanish Seventh-day Adventist Church, 2680 South Highway 385, Odessa, Texas, officiated by Pastor Jorge Poveda. Interment will be at the Saragossa Cemetery next to his beloved mother, Amada, at a later date. Arrangements are under the care of Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. UTPB working on new early childhood program. OA News at OAOA.com. During the next few months, University of Texas Permian Basin Dean of the College of Education, Larry Daniel, said they will be working on an early childhood intervention program. Daniel told a virtual meeting of the Early Childhood Action Network Wednesday that the Texas Health and Human Services Department had reached out to them about the need for this coursework. ECAN is under the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin. We actually have all the coursework needed to create a certification in early intervention specialist, and the Health and Human Services wanted us to go ahead and consider creating that, Daniel said. On a separate item, Jordan Sosa of First Five Permian Basin said a focus advisory council has been created with a lot of ECAN members. Sosa added that they are focused on moving First Five forward. She added that First Five received increased funding last year to grow their team. Reaching recruitment goals for families has been difficult because of COVID and not being able to attend events they normally would. We're at about 50% of our total funded capacity, so we have room for tons of families right now. Of course, we grew by many educators, but that's really our primary goal for this first bit of the year, is to work on our referrals and reaching out, Sosa said. Sosa said First Five is in preliminary planning for Roll and Read, which will be late April to May. She added that it will still probably be virtual in some aspects, but they are going to see if they can have some socially distanced in-person events as well. On summer kinder camp, Sosa said they set a goal for 100 children from Odessa and Midland and got 125 each for both. This year we're setting the baseline goal for 125, Sosa said. On the net, educatepb.com. Third Future makes pitch for Ector. OA News at OAOA.com. Representatives from a charter firm called Third Future presented its concept to the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees during a workshop. The Charter Network is a candidate to take over Ector College Prep Success Academy. The board non-renewed its contract with Ector Success Academy Network January 19th. The contract with ESAN ends June 30th. Senate Bill 1882, signed into effect by the Texas Legislature in 2017, provides incentives for districts to contract to partner with an open enrollment charter school, institutions of higher education, nonprofits, or government entities, the Texas Education Agency website says. Ector was in its fifth year of improvement required under state accountability standards. If it didn't come off the list, it could have faced closure, or the Texas Education Commissioner could appoint a board of managers over the whole district. ECISD partnered with CEO Superintendent Robert Bleich's Ector Success Academy Network as a way to stay sanctions from the Texas Education Agency for 2 years. Superintendent Scott Murray said previously that the employees at Ector are ECISD employees and will remain so as long as they are in good standing. Tuesday evening, he praised the staff, administrators, and board of Ector. In accordance with law, the board, quote, shall renew a charter performance contract only if the board finds that the campus charter has substantially fulfilled its obligations and met the performance standards in the contract and applicable law. From the January 19th board presentation, the campus met 6 of 24 academic goals set out in the performance agreement from 2018 to 2020, failed to meet generally accepted accounting standards for fiscal management, did not disclose a conflict of interest for services provided by the Charter Governing Board's president in June 2020, until November 2020. Per the agreement, notice of non-renewal must be given by the ECISD Board of Trustees by the last Friday of January, end quote, the recap said. Third Future's approach was similar to Ector Success Academy Network in some ways, such as extended days and highly competitive salaries. The Charter Network has schools in Aurora and Colorado Springs, Colorado, and Sam Houston Collegiate Preparatory Academy in Midland. None of us have a cape. We're not swooping in here, Third Future CEO Mike Miles said. Miles was accompanied by Zach Craddock, Executive Director of Third Future. Miles, a West Point graduate, diplomat, and former Dallas ISD superintendent, among other things, said he has a good relationship with the Education Commissioner and the Texas Education Agency. The Charter Network was established 4 years ago. Craddock is in his 24th year in education. He started a teacher and coach and worked his way up to principal and special education director. Craddock said Third Future has a proven track record of academic success, extracurricular activities, a successful instructional model, and longer days. The goal for growth is usually 1.8 years in 1 year, but because of COVID, they are aiming for 1.5 years of growth. Miles and Craddock reviewed Third Future's curriculum. They said they expect grade-level instruction every day, and they have the time to accelerate and remediate. The school would have embedded on-the-job professional development and offer coaching and support. Craddock said he visits classrooms every day, and there are professional growth and leadership opportunities. Doors open at 6:30 a.m., currently until 4:30 p.m. They are planning to close at 5 p.m. next year. Students may not have class until 7:30 a.m. if they are in 8th grade and they are supervised. "We know parents need those options," Craddock said. He said they never closed due to snow in Colorado and never delayed. When it snowed in Midland, he said, Sam Houston was open. Craddock said they will partner for fine arts, athletics, and transportation. Miles said they partner with MISD on nutrition, transportation, and special education, among other items. Craddock said they see ECISD as a true partner. "We all work in the best interests of the kids. It's not a contest. It's not a tug of war," he said. Assistant Superintendent of School and Support Alicia Siverson said the contract will likely come before the school board March 31st. Murray said if Ector has an F on its next state accountability ratings, it would potentially be in 2022. The district has requested that the commissioner extend the waiver that was granted on sanctions for 2 years. That approval is forthcoming, Murray said. He added that plans are to get the waiver before March 31st. Miles said Third Future would not have come to ECISD if it wasn't for Murray's reputation and that the board wants the best for students. The Charter Network has to have a Texas board. Currently, for its school in Midland, it has 2 members from Fort Worth, 2 from Midland, and 1 in Odessa. Murray said IDEA Public Schools has 1 board for all its campuses in Texas. In other business, the board recap said, trustees heard a quarterly update on the progress of 3 strategic plan initiatives. Since last May, ECISD has worked in partnership with 2 local internet providers, Sparklight and Grande, to identify families within their service areas who need service and to provide that service free of charge for 1 year, purchased and provided wireless hotspots for families who need and request it, is replacing wireless hotspots at 25 of the poorest schools that will provide connectivity to the area immediately around the school, and partnered with SpaceX to use satellite technology to provide internet in 1 rural section of the county. All of these include grant money from outside entities, the recap said. ECISD is also part of a community task force to develop long-term solutions to the broadband internet connectivity issue. Second, ECISD has begun a series of efforts to cultivate talent pipelines in order to grow its own teachers and develop the next generation of leaders. Examples of teacher training programs are the Teacher Academy for High School Students, a career and technical education pathway, Opportunity Culture, which includes teacher residents, college students, and the Odessa Pathway to Teaching, which is an alternative certification program run by ECISD. In terms of training leaders, the Emerging Leader Academy gives teachers the opportunity to train to become assistant principals, and the Aspiring Leader Academy and a planned principal residency are designed to train those interested in becoming principals. Third, ECISD is working to make blended learning a system-wide practice. Blended learning, defined as a student having some control in some manner over his or her own learning. It enables personalized learning for all students. Teach 2-1, the core math curriculum at 3 middle schools, is one example of blended learning in ECISD, the recap said. The Raising Blended Learners grant at 2 elementary campuses is another example, this one focusing on early childhood literacy. Ongoing blended learning professional development is available for any teachers interested in getting started and then further developing their skills in this area, the recap said. The Development Office gave board members an overview of its activities and new scope of work. Formerly called the Education Foundation, the Development Office has broadened its scope of work to include the Education Foundation, volunteers, partnerships, and grant writing. In all efforts, the department supports ECISD's strategic plan through research of issues and solutions, creating awareness of the district's needs, building community collaboration and lasting partnerships. A few examples of the Development Office's work over the past year are 25 new Little Free Libraries placed across the district, bookworm vending machines placed inside schools, the Bookworms Reading Program impacting more than 6,000 students in pre-kindergarten through first grade, a blanket drive for students, and delivery of school meals to students learning from home during this pandemic. 388 volunteers delivered 44,800 meals to more than 3,000 children. The Development Office plans to continue growing the Bookworms Literary Program and finding ways to connect the community and ECISD to serve the needs of students and staff. Previous coverage, tinyurl.com/1007k2tq. Third Future, tinyurl.com/326lyn4. Sol Ross, Associate Athletic Director, to be inducted into TSATA Hall of Honor. OA Life at OAOA.com. Alpine, Associate Athletic Director for Sports Medicine, Billy Ray Laxton, will be inducted into the Texas State Athletic Trainers Association Hall of Honor this June. Quote, Billy Ray being inducted in the TSATA Hall of Honor is very well deserved, end quote, Sol Ross, VP for Finance and Operations, and Interim Athletic Director Jim Goodman said. Quote, he is well known and highly respected in the athletic community in Texas. Along with being a tireless worker for the safety and well-being of student athletes, he's a terrific man and role model. I'm lucky to be able to call him a friend. Congratulations, BR. End quote. The TSATA was created to own, operate, and maintain an association exclusive to the promotion, enhancement, and advancement of the athletic training profession and of the association's members. The TSATA is, quote, by Texas athletic trainers, about Texas athletic trainers, and for Texas athletic trainers, end quote, and strives to serve as the voice of athletic trainers in Texas. Quote, Billy Ray Laxton represents the best of Sol Ross, end quote. Sol Ross President Pete Gallego said, quote, he leads by example, devoted to our university's athletes, committed to our community's children through service on the local school board, giving graciously of his time, and pitching in wherever he can to make Sol Ross a better place," end quote. Laxton joined Sol Ross in May of 2018 as head athletics trainer and was named associate athletics director for athletic training in July of 2019. He previously served as outreach coordinator at Scott and White Hospital in Temple since 2011. Before that, Laxton served as head athletic trainer and assistant professor of athletic training at the University of Mary Hardin Baylor. Quote, "I am extremely honored to enter the Hall of Honor with people I admire, love, and respect," end quote, Laxton said. Quote, "I would like to thank all the student athletes and student trainers that I've encountered over the years. I am so thankful to have so many mentors. I also could not have done this without my family. My wife, Joanna, has been so supportive over the years and has been in a position where she could take care of business for our family," end quote. Laxton is set to be inducted on June 12th as TSATA celebrates its 20th anniversary and 50 years of Texas licensure. Salvation Army City Ready for Cold. Salvation Army volunteer Norris Cornett lays out cafeteria trays in preparation for meal service Wednesday afternoon at the Salvation Army of Odessa. The Salvation Army, in partnership with the City of Odessa, is preparing to open their shelter to provide a warming center to those in need during incoming freezing temperatures. Eli Hartman, Odessa American. By Federico Martinez, FMARTINEZ at OAOA.com. With the threat of temperatures plummeting to below freezing beginning Wednesday night, the Salvation Army of Odessa will serve as a warming center for those in need tonight through Tuesday morning. The free shelter site, 811 East 10th Street, is a partnership between the Salvation Army and the City of Odessa. "We were expecting an Arctic front to move in this weekend, but it appears it may arrive Thursday morning," said Captain Juan Gomez, commanding officer for the Salvation Army. "So we're setting up for a quicker than originally anticipated start." Free food, beverages, cots, blankets, pillows, and toiletries will be provided to the public, shelter officials said. The public can begin arriving at the shelter at 6:30 p.m. today or at 5 p.m. if they want to eat dinner in the soup kitchen first. Although the public can bring their own blankets and pillows, Gomez is discouraging people from doing so unless absolutely necessary. "Because of COVID, we still need to follow social distancing guidelines, which means we already have less space than under normal circumstances," Gomez said. According to the National Weather Service, Arctic air mass is making its way into the Permian Basin, forcing temperatures to drop significantly. Today and Friday, we'll see highs in the 40s with lows in the 20s. Saturday's high is expected to be 39 degrees and as low as 13, according to the National Weather Service. After that, temperatures could dip into the single digits. Odessa Mayor Javier Hoven said he was pleased to see the city and Salvation Army come together quickly to meet the needs of residents. "I'm very proud of how the Odessa Fire Rescue Command and staff, our incident command, and city staff identified a need in assisting and providing warm shelter for those most vulnerable of our citizens in Odessa," Hoven said. "As temperatures will drop over this weekend, the City of Odessa is partnering with Salvation Army to provide warm shelter to those needing shelter from the extreme cold weather that will arrive here in the local area this weekend. I'd like to thank everyone in responding so quickly to citizens' concerns and coming together in a spirit of cooperation, providing the necessary resources so quickly to make this a reality. God bless you all. Cots sat empty inside the men's dorm Wednesday afternoon at the Salvation Army of Odessa homeless shelter. The shelter is located at 811 East 10th Street and will provide food, beverages, cots, and blankets free of charge starting at 6:30 p.m. today through Tuesday morning. Eli Hartman, Odessa American. Permian Basin weather. 5-day Odessa and Midland forecast. CBS 7, your eye on West Texas. Weather information brought to you by Craig Stewart, Tom Tiefertiller, Lauren Bostwick. Today, mostly cloudy with northeast winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. High 44, low 29. Friday, mostly cloudy with east winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. High 47, low 28. Saturday, mostly cloudy with northeast winds at 5 to 15 miles per hour. High 35, low 17. Sunday, cloudy skies. High 21, low 11. Monday, partly cloudy. High 29, low 16. New Mexico outlook. Hobbs, mostly cloudy. High 50, low 29. Ruidosa, sunny skies. High 57, low 34. Fact. On this date, in 1899, perhaps the greatest of all Arctic outbreaks commenced. The temperature plunged to 61 degrees below zero in Montana. Newcomer files for school board. OA News at OAOA.com. Jesse Christensen has filed for place 4 on the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees. The election is May 1st. Christensen applied for the position when Doyle Woodall resigned. Chris Stanley was appointed to the position. Stanley is running again, as are Secretary Steve Brown, Trustee Nelson Minyard, and President Delma Abalos. Hours for ECISD are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Brown represents Position 5, Stanley Position 4, Minyard Position 7, and Abalos Position 2. Those interested can mail applications to Cynthia McNabb, P.O. Box 3912, Odessa, Texas, 79760-3912. Email to Cynthia, Cynthia, .McNabb, MCNABB, at HectorCountyISD.org, or fax to 432-456-9878. People can come to the administration building physically to fill out an application at 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. More information may be found on the ECISD website. Those who have filed for the Odessa College Board of Trustees are J.E. Coach Presley, Place 4, Vice President Gary Johnson for Place 7, and Secretary Larry Johnson, Place 5. The filing period started January 13th and runs to February 12th, the Secretary of State's website says. Early voting is from April 19th through April 27th, the site said. Those interested in the OC board should file with the office of Ken Zartner, Vice President for Administrative Services at Odessa College. The office can be reached at 432-335-6701. Local News Roundup, Marriage Retreat and Seminar. Love Rekindled, Enjoying Marriage God's Way, has been scheduled Friday through Sunday at MCM Elegante, 5200 East University Boulevard. Check-in is between 4:30 p.m. and 6 p.m. Friday. Cost is $150 to $250. For tickets or more information, visit www.loverekindled.org. Chocolate Decadence. The Aphasia Center of West Texas and Concho Resources have scheduled a virtual Chocolate Decadence Friday. Reserve your party pack to support Permian Basin stroke survivors dealing with aphasia's everyday communication challenges. For more information, call 432-699-1261 or visit www.aphasiawtx.org/chocolate-decadence. Blankets needed. Humane Society of Odessa, 7012 West Mockingbird Lane, are in desperate need of good used new blankets and bedding to keep pets warm during the cold weather on the way. Blankets may be dropped off from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Visit www.facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa. Traffic Department creates new web map. The City of Odessa's Traffic Department and Geo Intelligence Division has created a new web map to help keep residents informed on road closures, construction projects, and traffic signal projects. The map can be viewed at tinyurl.com/45x2ssm9. Sinatra and Beyond. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale has scheduled Sinatra and Beyond, a tribute to Frank Sinatra, featuring Tony Desiree at 7:30 p.m. March 6th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm Road, 1788, Midland. Tickets are $30 to $50 and $17 for students. For tickets, visit mosc.org or call 800-514-3849. OA News at oaoa.com. Local News Roundup. Odessan sentenced to 33 months in federal prison. A federal judge sentenced 33-year-old Christopher Caswell of Odessa to 33 months in federal prison for being a convicted felon who pointed a rifle at and threatened a driver, a Department of Justice press release detailed. In addition to the prison term, U.S. District Judge David Counts reportedly ordered that Caswell be placed on supervised release for a period of 3 years after completing his prison term. Court documents showed that Odessa Police Department officers responded to the 2700 block of Eisenhower Road on August 29th in reference to a subject with a gun, the press release stated. The victim reported to police that while stopped at an intersection, he saw Caswell and another individual arguing in front of a residence. Caswell then approached the victim's vehicle while pointing a rifle at the victim and telling him to mind his own business. The victim reportedly drove off and contacted police. Officers spoke with Caswell while he was walking southbound on Eisenhower Road, holding a black rifle. Caswell dropped the High Point 9mm rifle and evaded officers on foot. On September 17th, members of the U.S. Marshals Service Lone Star Fugitive Task Force located Caswell and arrested him in Dallas, the press release stated. He has since remained in federal custody. Caswell reportedly pleaded guilty to the felon in possession charge on November 4th. His criminal history showed two prior state felony convictions in Odessa for evading arrest or detention. The Odessa Police Department investigated this case, while Assistant U.S. Attorney Monica Daniels prosecuted this case. Woman charged with assault at nightclub. A 26-year-old woman was arrested after she reportedly threw a bottle that hit another woman in the head at a nightclub. Celine Urias was charged with aggravated assault, causing serious bodily injury, a second-degree felony. The reported assault happened around 12:15 a.m. January 18th at Club Tequila, located at 2111 East 8th Street. An Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit detailed. Officers reportedly saw the victim, identified as Yadira Casares, had a large cut on the right side of her forehead and it was bleeding. Casares was transported to a local hospital. Casares reported to police that Urias hit her with the bottle, the affidavit stated. Urias left the scene prior to the officer's arrival. Urias was later interviewed where she admitted to throwing the bottle out of anger during an argument at the bar. Urias was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on February 9th, jail records show. She had one bond totaling $20,000, and she posted bond the same day. Man charged in connection with shooting. A 27-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly shot an 18-year-old man in the back and shot at an 18-year-old woman. Ronnie Ortiz Jr., 27, was charged with two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony. The reported assault happened around 10:09 p.m., February 9th, in the 2300 block of West 10th Street, an Odessa Police Department press release detailed. Officers also responded to Medical Center Hospital in reference to a gunshot victim identified as an 18-year-old man. OPD spokesperson Corporal Steve LeSueur declined to provide the names to the Odessa American of the 18-year-old man and 18-year-old woman involved in the aggravated assault. LeSueur said over the phone that it would be best to obtain that information through the probable cause affidavit. The Odessa American requested the full police report and probable cause affidavit from the city of Odessa at 2:32 p.m. Wednesday afternoon. Investigation reportedly showed that after a disturbance at Floyd Gwynn Park, Ortiz shot the 18-year-old man in the back and also shot at an 18-year-old woman. The 18-year-old male was transported to MCH with serious bodily injury, while the 18-year-old woman had no injuries. Ortiz was located by Texas Department of Public Safety, and he later admitted to shooting the 18-year-old man, the press release detailed. Ortiz was arrested and booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center at 7 a.m. Thursday, jail records show. He has two bonds, totaling $100,000, and was still in custody as of Wednesday afternoon. OA News at OAOA.com. Facial fillers and COVID-19. Dear Dr. Roach, will I have a reaction to the new COVID-19 vaccine because I have an implanted stimulator? I heard that people with face fillers had reactions since it was foreign items in the body. I also have had back surgeries and hip replacement. I'm a 72-year-old female with diabetes. I'm soon able to receive the vaccine, so I am concerned. B.L. Answer. As of this writing, I have read of an increased risk in vaccine reactions in people who have had cosmetic facial fillers done within the few weeks up to 6 months prior to getting the Moderna brand COVID-19 vaccine. In each case, symptoms got better quickly with antihistamine drugs or steroids. Apparently, this type of reaction has also been seen in people with the flu, the disease, not the vaccine, after having facial fillers. I have not read about reactions in people with implantable devices. There have been several cases of severe allergic reactions in people with a history of anaphylaxis and who have been instructed to carry an epinephrine pen. The COVID-19 vaccines are given only in locations where emergency treatment is available, and people need to be observed for at least 15 minutes after getting the vaccine. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Mom pushes closer after first grandchild's birth. Dear Abby, my mother and I have never been close. We talk to or see each other 5 or 6 times a year at family functions. Honestly, I am fine with this. I recently had a baby, her first grandchild, and suddenly she wants to come over all the time. I have tried to set boundaries, giving a day and time when she may come over, but it makes me look like a bully, and she tells people she doesn't feel welcome. My issue is she struggles with boundaries. She asks about my finances, inappropriate questions regarding my pregnancy, etc., topics I don't feel comfortable discussing with her. I honestly don't view this as my problem. We barely have a relationship and haven't for a long time, so I think she should take what I am offering. I simply do not care to see a lot of her. If she wants to see the baby, I feel I must be present because her having time alone with the baby is not an option that will work. Should I feel bad that she doesn't feel welcome? It's complicated. Dear, it's complicated. I am sorry you weren't willing to share what caused your estrangement from your mother, because it would have given me more to work with. Assuming there is a good reason for it, which I am, your mother is correct about what she's telling people. She isn't welcome. In fact, she's quite the opposite. If she doesn't know the reasons for it, you should make them clear to her. Because you are hearing her complaints repeated by others, feel free to explain to them the reasons. You are within your rights to set boundaries regarding your mother's visits, and you should not be made to feel guilty for doing it. Dear Abby, I have known my friend Isabella since elementary school. When we were teenagers, we both developed medical problems. I tried to help her as much as I could, but it became clear that she was having trouble dealing with her condition. She was headed down a bad path and struggling emotionally, so we gradually grew apart. I friended her on Facebook because I still wanted to remain friendly, but she never posted anything until recently. Now she has started posting about heavy drug use and how much it helps her. I don't want to be associated with this. I'm building a career, and I don't want anyone assuming I use drugs too. However, I want to remain friends with Isabella on Facebook, since it's our only method of communication, and I want to help her overcome this. What do you suggest? Discreet helper in the South. Dear helper, I'm suggesting you unfriend Isabella immediately for the reason you mentioned, the fear of guilt by association. As much as you would like to help your old friend with her addiction problem, and while you might suggest she enter a treatment program, it won't happen until she finally realizes the drugs are not only not improving her life, but preventing her from accomplishing it. From what you have written, Isabella is still neck deep in denial, and you cannot fix that. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com. COVID-19 vaccines. Medical Center Hospital will be administering the first dose of Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine at the drive-through clinic at Ratliff Stadium, South Main Entrance. The clinic will start at 9 a.m. and gates close at 2 p.m. Clinics have been canceled today and Friday due to expected cold weather. The clinic will resume next week, February 17th, 18th, and 21st. The clinic is for Phase 1A frontline workers and Phase 1B, most at risk and for ages 65 and older. Online registration requested for a quicker on-site processing. For those that are not able to register online, will be rerouted to a waiting area to register before vaccination. Wear short-sleeve clothing, easy to access arm. Bring a valid driver's license or other photo ID. To pre-register or for more information, visit mchodessa.com. For those looking for a way to help, email volunteers@odessa-tx.gov. MCH will be administering booster, second doses, shots of the Pfizer vaccines starting Monday. Those who received the first shot at Ratliff Stadium can call, set your appointments, 432-640-2747. Phone line will only be answered during clinic hours. The booster shots will be given at two urgent care locations at 3001 JBS Parkway and at 6030 West University Boulevard. Hours have been extended to accommodate the community from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday and from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. The community should set an appointment within their five-date range listed on their vaccination card. No booster shots will be given to patients before the first date listed on their card. If patients can't make the five-date range on the card, they can still make an appointment after those dates. MCHS is also asking the community to only show up for their appointment. MCHS is also asking the community to only show up for their appointment a few minutes before their allotted time to avoid a crowd in the waiting room and to ensure the most efficient process possible. There will be no walk-ins for the booster shot. Odessa Regional Medical Center, 520 East 6th Street, is expecting COVID-19 vaccines soon. The vaccine is free of charge while supplies last. Please check on vaccine availability. For more information, call 432-582-8549 or visit tinyurl.com/Y3JQHZ89. Walgreens has limited COVID-19 vaccines available in select areas. For eligibility requirements or more information, visit tinyurl.com/YHR6NEUD. AGB pharmacies are prepared to receive new allotments of COVID-19 vaccine at any time from the state of Texas. Once they have vaccine, eligible customers can sign up using the scheduler to receive a COVID-19 vaccine. To sign up, updates, or information, visit vaccine.heb.com. CVS stores are administering the COVID-19 vaccine by appointment only in select stores based on local eligibility guidelines. For updates or information, visit cvs.com, CVS Pharmacy app, or call 800-746-7287. Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies are administering the COVID-19 vaccine based on state and federal eligibility guidelines in select areas. For updates, visit www.walmart.com/CP/12282302 or visit www.samsclub.com/pharmacy. From Staff Reports, COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County numbers are not updated daily. ECISD daily cases, 5 students, 4 staff. U.S. cases, 27,030,549 total confirmed, and 466,465 deaths. Find out more at dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Council OK's OC agreement, oanews@oaoa.com. The Odessa City Council on Tuesday approved an economic development agreement between the Odessa Development Corporation and the Odessa College Foundation. Odessa College's new Health Sciences Center, which is scheduled to break ground on the campus in the fall of this year, will be used to train a healthcare workforce. Wesley Burnett, Director of Economic Development, last week detailed for Council the economic development agreement between ODC and Odessa College Foundation for the new construction. Burnett said the 83,000-square-foot building will cost almost $40 million, and OC President Gregory Williams said OC has donations and other funding for much of the cost of the building. Burnett touted the workforce training aspect of the partnership with OC and said 44 jobs will be retained and 16 new jobs created with more than $1 million in payroll. Williams told council during last week's meeting that the new center will create jobs and produce a record number of students working in the health science field. Council also agreed to issue a resolution of support for a company to rebuild the Woodcrest Apartments. Woodcrest Apartments can apply for a tax credit to allow the developer to move residents to another area and to demolish the 74 units that are 50 years old and to build new units. Residents will be relocated and the contractor will be responsible for costs associated with the move. The residents are all part of an affordable housing project. Phil Fisher with Sonoma Housing, during last week's work session, said the long-term objective is to serve long-term, low-income residents. He said the program will not cost the city, but rather is a federal program, and that it would allow newer and more efficient housing. He said the program required a resolution of support from the city during the February 9th City Council meeting. The project would begin in the fall. The construction costs will be around $14 million, and it will take about 12 to 14 months to complete. There are currently 74 households living there now. HUD pays about two-thirds of the rent for most of the property now. Many residents are elderly or disabled. Fisher said the new units could last as long as 40 years. Churches come together for Ash Wednesday worship. OANews@OAOA.com. At 6 p.m. on Ash Wednesday, February 17th, four churches, Connection Christian Church, Bethany Christian Church, First Presbyterian Church, and Westminster Presbyterian Church will be offering a drive-in worship service for Ash Wednesday, a new approach to a centuries-old Christian tradition. The service will be in the west parking lot of Connection Christian Church at 4241 Tanglewood Lane. Participants will be able to listen to the service on their car radios and receive ashes for themselves and their cars in a COVID-safe manner. In the Christian tradition, Ash Wednesday marks the start of the holy season of Lent, a time for preparation for the celebration of Easter. For centuries, Christians have received a cross of ashes at the beginning of that season as a reminder of God's forgiveness. Our four churches share the ancient Christian tradition of Ash Wednesday. We are coming together to receive the mark of the cross, which shapes us far more than any denominational distinction, says the Reverend Dr. Don Weeks, co-pastor of Connection Christian. All are welcome to attend the service and receive ashes. Contact Reverend Dr. Don Weeks, DRDAWN, at odessaconnection.church. 432-332-2954 for more information.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.